Hello everyone, this is Adam from Zelda Working Title Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I would like to take this time and inform you that this podcast contains some suggestive material and situations. Suggestive material includes moments in which we use words such as and/or. Please be aware that such moments may be present in this podcast. Thusly, listener discretion is advised. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day and enjoy the podcast. And I'm still here. Sit down, listeners. Let's have a talk. It's come to our attention here at the Zelda Working Title Podcast that we're not receiving many emails from you. And this makes us sad. Week after week, we kindly extend our arms out to you listeners and ask your opinions about our topics, query your minds for questions that require answering, implore you to let us know how awesome we are. These are our favorite emails. And poor Matthew constantly beseeches you to send in some fan art. Yet every week, to our most unfortunate misery, we find that our mailbox is empty, a bleak and desolate place. So upset this has made us that we have organized some group therapy sessions in which we discussed our never-ending sorrows. Throughout this healing process, we came up with an idea. What if, instead of asking nicely for emails, we became more stern and demanding in regards to our requests? So, here goes. Prepare yourself, listeners.
You better start sending us some emails or we will find you, hunt you down, and you up so bad you will wish we didn't up so bad.
Now, with that, listeners, enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. This is episode number 19.
Yes!
Suck it, fag.
Matt and Nick are playing Metroid Prime 2 multiplayer. So that's what that is.
Because, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, Metroid Prime Trilogy is out of print and they've stopped shipping it completely now. So
it's
run
true.
Out to the stores and grab it like I did today. Well, Matt did because he bought it for my birthday.
For myself.
We've got... Oh my god, we've got Alex. Alex. Alex is sick and drinking tequila. So
tequila!
He's going to be incapacitated in a few minutes. And then we have guest speaker. Yeah. Chase is back.
What's welcome, up? Welcome back, Chase.
Thanks, guys.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you.
Yep.
It's been a long time. Now I'm coming back home. I've been away now. What the fuck are you shooting at me?
It's something crazy. I'm not sure what it is, but it kills you pretty good.
Oh, it's the annihilator.
It's the anal annihilator. Chase, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Oh, pretty good, man.
That's good.
I got into a fight with a kid named Chase in fourth grade. Are you that guy?
I don't think so.
Is that the kid who punched you over Street Fighter?
No. I didn't get a fight with him. I just got punched.
Have you ever told that story?
No, but
it's a great story.
I choked him. Basically, I punched him in the throat. This kid Chase. Did you ever get punched in the throat by me?
No, especially not over Street Fighter.
So. No, it wasn't over Street Fighter. It was just a regular fight where I punched a kid in the throat.
Okay, I don't think I've been punched.
Okay,
in the throat.
Okay, wait. What happened? I'm back. Hi guys. What's up? How's everybody doing?
Where were you? You can't leave in the middle of a podcast.
My mommy called on my telephone, and I had to answer it.
My mom's a faggot.
Well, she called me. Well, she didn't call me. She was in like my bed last night, and she was like, "Should I call my son?" And I was like, "I don't care. Do whatever you want. I don't like you anymore." And then she started huffing paint chips, and she's like, "This is a problem. Don't tell my son." And I was like, "You'll be lucky if I do."
And so you did.
Why?
So
I don't know. I'm playing this game. I'm not paying attention to what I'm saying.
All right. So let's talk about what we've been playing. Why don't Matt and Nick, you guys go first.
Metroid Prime.
Currently, I am playing Metroid Prime.
Ah, crap! I got
2.
Scan
being I've been
acquired.
Playing a lot of Little Big Planet. I got that for I bought that myself for my birthday because Walmart had it $10
cool.
off. Then I have been playing the Mag Beta on the PS3.
Yes.
You've been playing that.
I
right,
have. Yeah.
Adam?
You've been playing that, right?
I was about to say as well, but I said right instead. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Always to me, the most interesting part about it is that you can do the 256 players at the same time. But other than that, you know, it's kind of seems just like Call of Duty.
Conventional?
Yeah. So.
Oh.
It is almost exactly like Battlefield 2.
I don't know. I didn't buy into the Call of Duty Modern Warfare series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me neither.
I rented the fourth one, or the first Modern Warfare. It was okay. But I haven't played, like, a military first-person shooter in a long
time.
Right,
same here.
So, where it might be a game that's kind of tried, and everybody's played it, and it feels the same old, same old, I have not played one of those games in a long time, so it felt pretty new to
right.
me. And I had a lot of fun playing it.
To me, just, like, the damage is very confusing, because it just seems so random. Like, sometimes you die in one hit, sometimes it takes, like, 10 hits to kill you. Sometimes, like, I use the rocket launcher and I end up killing myself more than I kill other people.
Oh, yeah, the rocket launcher doesn't do anything. I hit a guy in the chest and nothing
right.
happened, and he walked up and stabbed
right.
me.
And then stabbing is another thing, like, I don't... It may just be the controller, but I don't like clicking in to knife
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the things that I really hated about Modern Warfare. But in Modern Warfare, or the first one, I think you can change that, and I'm not sure if you can, or eventually will be able to in Mag. But I don't know, I was doing something I don't usually do in first-person shooters. I was playing as a sniper, and that's really all I've done. And that felt... pretty good to me, I guess, because, I mean, headshots kill him in one shot, couple
right.
shots to the body kills him. But
I find
yeah, when
that
I was using
sniping...
when I was using the SMG, I felt like I couldn't kill anybody.
See, it's kind of the opposite for me. Like, I started off sniping, and I do snipe a lot. It's just that it's really hard to get experience sniping. Because, you know, you do kill people, and you don't die a lot, but it just seems like the people who just go Rambo get so much more experience.
Yeah, that's true. Because
you only get more kills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But I've had a few just like, I don't know, cool moments in the game at least where, I was sniping people that I didn't think I had any chance of getting. And there was one time where I was like pinned down by 4 guys, and I tossed a grenade and then crawled away and I killed all of them at once.
Nice.
And I got away. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I
yeah.
What played I've... it because I left my controller at Nick's house all week. So.
Yeah.
Aww.
Sorry. But then
that ends today, the beta.
Oh,
so.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I played it at PAX. It wasn't very good.
Yeah, but it was a lot better than you said that you thought it was better than the demo you played.
Yeah. Come here, I have a death ball.
Yeah, I'm not going down there.
All right, so what else, Nick?
Okay, I played Little Big Planet Mag, more PlayStation Home. I broke down and bought clothes. Because on the last podcast, Matt and I, we started our home gang, and...
just Matt and you?
And
what
you,
about
Adam.
Me?
And
well,
you,
yeah,
Adam.
Thank
you.
Adam,
thanks for including me, guys.
But Adam, you're not in the gang yet, because you don't have a leather jacket.
Well, because you guys didn't send me any money.
I'll send you $5. I'll PayPal you some money, so you can buy a leather jacket.
Yeah, and you get our gang's called the Home Guys. Anyone can join it.
Yeah, we're called the Home Guys. We're the toughest gang on Home. The Assassin's Creed gang, they're not fans of us at all. Matt and I had some choice words with some of them. They were pretty pissed off that we were claiming to be better than them. That was actually really funny. And everybody takes themselves so serious on home. And then we started hitting on these girls, or at least I started hitting on these girls.
Were they really girls, though?
Yeah, I think so. But I was just like, yo, toots, come back to my house. We'll have a crazy home guys party. And she was like, I don't know if I like rough guys. And I was like, I can be rough, but I can be gentle, too. And then this other girl came up, and they were both wearing bikini tops. And she said something. I said, who's this broad? And the girl was like, broad? I'm her girlfriend. And I was like, oh, yeah, we like girls like you. And they might join our gang. I'm not sure. Hopefully they do. We need some ladies in the gang.
Nice.
But if you guys, if any of the listeners are on home, my PS3 or PlayStation Network account name is Tugboat1138, and Tugboat's spelled with two G's. Join up. Join the home, guys. Get yourself a leather jacket. We're a cool gang. We're the toughest dudes.
Yeah, my PSN name is Mullet, M-U-L-I-C-T, and then an underscore.
Mine is Suzukan, S-I-Z-U-K-H-A-N.
Yeah.
Join the ranks, guys. It's
You have to get a leather jacket, though, to join the home.
We're the homonist gang there is.
Clever.
But anyway, other than home, let's see. What did I say? I'm not looking at any sort of list.
SOCOM?
SOCOM. I bought that because I wanted to get a headset for my PS3. Mm-hmm. And they're $50, and I didn't feel like spending $50 on a headset.
What kind of headset is it?
It's the PlayStation headset, the Bluetooth.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's $50 for that. But
so it's a $60 game, and it comes with the headset.
Yes, if you buy SOCOM, it comes with a headset. $60,
that's
and it comes with
great.
The headset. Yeah. So basically, I'm buying a headset and getting a $10 game, or I'm buying a $50 game and getting I'm buying a game and getting a free headset. That's even
right.
better. And it's awesome. I still haven't used it, but it's a cool deal, and I haven't played the game yet because I bought that. I bought that yesterday and had to work.
Okay.
And then new Super Mario Brothers and Beatles Rock Band and everything I've been playing. And Matt and I are playing through Majora's Mask right now.
Oh, cool. Good stuff.
So,
Matt, have you been playing anything?
You can add to that.
I'm the one that's playing Majora's Mask, so.
Okay.
Hands
we're continuing the tradition of doing all the voice acting for the characters in Zelda. But
how's that working out?
I think my tingle voice is pretty
Matt's
cool.
Tingle is awesome.
Well, let's hear it.
I can't do it unless I'm.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's really flamboyant and funny.
It's English.
And English. Everybody's English. And then Matt did Tingle's dad. He's a big burly British man.
Right. Of course.
You guys know how my burly British voice goes.
And then what was the other one? Oh, I did the voice of what are the witches' names in the swamp? I don't know.
Oh, Kume and Kataki.
Yeah, but I when I do voices, I stumble over words because I try to read too fast, and I'm not that great at reading. And so either I screw up all the words, or my accent comes and goes. So I'm not too good at the voice acting, but it's still
nice.
Fun to play.
Nice. All right, is that all for you guys?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Alex?
What did I have written down here? I beat Twilight Princess. I beat Twilight Princess, and I'm playing through Phantom Hourglass.
All right. Cool. How are you liking Phantom Hourglass? Did you play it before and you just didn't beat it?
I got through parts of it, and then I stopped playing because other things came up, and I'm still back in the beginning. I've had to start over like 4 times now because I just don't go through it.
So what do you think of it?
I like what I played so far. I just haven't really had a time to sit down and play it through. So,
okay.
I mean,
did you have Spirit Tracks? Or you're going
I have it. It's sitting... There's a whole shitload of games that I bought that I've been meaning to go through, and I haven't even, like, touched them just because I've been busy with other things. So Spirit Tracks is sitting there. I just haven't had a chance to go into it.
Okay. Chase, how about you?
Yo. Been playing through Mass Effect a little bit to get myself hyped up for the new one and playing Borderlands online with friends.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you like Borderlands? Well, I've heard that it feels like it's ripping off a bunch of other games.
Well, it's fun, like, in the way that a multiplayer game can be fun. Like, it's more fun to play with your friends. It's kind of boring to play by yourself.
Okay.
Because there's, like, absolutely no story.
Oh.
But there's a weird thing I haven't really experienced before where I feel like I absolutely cannot play the game without my friends, because if you're not all on the same quests, like, they won't be able to... Like, if I played ahead and then, like, you know, my friends joined my game, they wouldn't be able to do any quest with me.
Oh,
that sucks. So,
yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I guess the answer is to play as different characters, but that seems to defeat the purpose, too.
Yeah, I feel like all the characters... I don't know. When a game is that big and doesn't have a story, I feel like they need to put a lot into the character customization. And
For sure.
I feel like there isn't any in that game, because you have those four to choose from, and they're all kind of generic.
I mean, there's, like, it's, I guess, similar. I never played it, but, like, kind of like Diablo, where there's, like, you know, branches that you can, like, customize your character stats and stuff.
Shut up! But, Mac 1, 20 kills to 7, Metroid Prime, and that's with Nick's cheap kill when I wasn't paying attention.
I was
Congratulations.
Also Metroid Prime. How quiet was Matt when we were playing?
Matt was barely talking. That's because I was...
Matt wasn't even listening. He says, you missed it, but under his breath, he was like, screw all you stupid fags. I don't like any of you.
Yeah, and that game was deciding who's the ultimate champion of video games.
Matt's the ultimate champion.
Congratulations,
more
Matt.
Like the ultimate,
congratulations.
More like the ultimate champion.
Oh!
Alright,
okay.
So...
Continue. Continue.
So, yeah, there's branching paths in Borderlands?
Yeah. I mean, like, you can be... Like, there are, I guess it's, like, convenient. There's kind of paths that are more self-serving, and then there's paths that are, like, more team-based. So I imagine that you would, you know, customize your character accordingly.
Do they have any teen-based paths, or paths? Like, where, like, you have to go to high school and, oh no, you had a bad dream and you weren't wearing any clothes?
No.
But Diablo actually had a good story to it, right? I mean,
I can't hear you right now because Matt is, he decided to reach across my bed and unplug everything.
Oh.
Can you guys, all right, I can hear you now. So, I said that stupid joke. What did you guys say to that joke?
We didn't hear the joke.
Really?
No.
Well, buckle up. Here it comes. Take two. Never mind. Forget it. It was too good.
Too late
take
now.
Five.
Oh, yeah. Crack open a Take Five. It's my new sponsor for this week.
Take five.
Take Five candy bars.
Those are pretty good.
Crack it open. Tune in Disney Channel Sunday nights at 3:41 p.m. exactly.
Can you crack open a candy bar? I mean, you can crack a candy bar.
you can crack it open.
Sure you can.
You can crack it and the wrapping breaks.
They come in the same stuff they make packing peanuts out of now.
Oh, delicious.
So you crack it open. you crunch a bite.
For flavor.
Tune in. Drop out. Eat up. Zach and Cody at 3:41 on Sunday.
9/11, never forget.
Yes, no, yes.
Oh! I thought of the podcast today when I was driving. I saw an American flag license plate on an Escalade in front of me, and it's the vanity plate was NVR 4 GET. So never forget, and I never forgot.
Neither did they, apparently.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't get close enough to the microphone.
Matt's...
Well, why don't you just scoot in and, you know, get a little closer to
Nick? I'm on the
Nick.
Bed, Nick's on a chair.
Just cuddle up with each other. You know.
Yeah, but now it's way too close to me. Now you're going to hear too much of my voice.
No.
Oh, here. Let's do this.
How's that?
That's good.
Sounds good.
You don't have to get...
Wait, guys, there's an unidentified distressed beacon... That has been... never mind. Didn't read it fast enough.
Talon 4?
No, it's on on the Tantive 4 from Star Wars.
Nobody knows what that is.
You sure it's not Tatooine?
No, the Tantive 4 is the ship at the beginning.
Yeah, everyone's a blockade runner. Corellian
the second
freighter.
Ship you ever
see. The, Wedge Antilles' father is the captain.
Also known as Captain Antilles.
He gets
choked
to death by
To get back on topic... Nick.
That is a topic. This week's topic
I've been
Who's
playing.
Who's the best Antilles? Wedger's dad.
No. The best bad guy. Colonel Bad Guy from Avatar. You're not in Kansas anymore, everybody.
Miles Korich.
Was that his name?
No, his name was Colonel Bad Guy. I like that better.
It was basically Colonel Bad Guy. That guy was the most one-note villain.
Right.
James Cameron, what happened to your writing?
You could say this movie had some titanically bad writing.
Oh, you could say that anybody who likes that movie is avatarded.
Or
you could say, I abyssed my pants.
No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
They should really terminate his contract.
Oh! What's with all the Judgment Day?
That's a good show.
All right, so I've got some news for you guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Guess what I haven't been playing?
Brawl?
Metroid Prime.
Brawl?
I haven't been playing Brawl.
What?
It's sweet.
It's the sign of the apocalypse.
Did you cancel?
2010 has already turned out to be a great year.
Yes.
It's the year we make. It's the year Adam makes contact with not playing Brawl.
He realizes there is a God, and it's not
guys,
Brawl.
Right. All right.
Now with that. With
these
that, we're going to go into Adam's
if I've
news
ever
hour.
Seen them.
Whether
no,
Matt and Nick shut up or not.
Text adventure. Wait, what?
Nothing.
No, continue.
All right. Let's see. Upcoming games. They're the same as always, but I'll go ahead and read them. January 12th
no,
for 360
don't,
PS3
read these.
PSP. Nope, going to read them again.
No!
Army of Two, the 40th day. Oh, wait, those already came out, didn't they?
Wait, what
Maybe.
Did? Army of Two?
Army of Two.
Hold on. Did you know you could play
oh,
as
by
two
the
players
way,
in that game?
By the way, I thought of a better two-player co-op military game that came out before Army of Two.
What?
Pong.
Oh, that's right. It was a military sim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still don't see how Contra is not a military sim. I mean,
can you shut up? I was making a point here.
Those two guys are the military. They are the only men in the military, and apparently the military in the future.
You could say it's a military of two.
It's a
or maybe even
army,
an army
of
two.
Yeah, but you fought robots. You didn't fight terrorists.
You did fight terrorists. You fought terrorist people slash robots slash aliens.
No,
they were
count.
Biological
doesn't
creatures,
count.
And in the future, you don't.
Doesn't
they don't
count.
Believe in body armor. They wear no shirts.
Nope, not tough enough.
All right, Silent Hill, Shattered Memories for PSP, January 12th. January 26th for 360 is Mass Effect 2. PS3 is MAG. Wii is Tatsunoko vs. Capcom Ultimate All-Stars. PC is Mass Effect 2 as well. January 28th is No More Heroes 2 for Wii. February 2nd is Star Trek Online for PC. February 9th is Bioshock 2 for 360, PS3, and PC. February 16th is Red Steel 2 for Wii. February 22nd is Endless Ocean Blue World for Wii. February 23rd, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction for 360 and PS3. And February 28th is Heavy Rain.
Me and Nick were at Walmart, and we saw a Tom Clancy novel for Splinter Cell, except Tom Clancy, for his video games, he doesn't write the novels.
Yeah.
It just says, Tom Clancy's
really?
Splinter Cell, in huge letters, like, written by Steve Smith, like,
yeah.
At the bottom.
And I read just an excerpt of it, and it was somebody who was not Sam Fisher, and she was a Splinter Cell, and it says, let's say her name was Sandra Bullock. It says, Sandra Bullock enters the room in a Sam Fisher style. And it's probably the best book I've ever read. I've never read a book before. But it's after reading that passage, I think I could get into it. It seems like it's a good thing.
Well, good. There you go. Go out and buy it.
Tom Clancy's making
so
reading fun again.
A few games came out since last week. We've got Darksiders, Bayonetta,
Has
and
anyone
Army
played
of
Darksiders? Now I really want to play it because of the reviews it's getting.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. I mean, it's for 360 as well. I didn't know that last week, but...
Yeah.
So... And then Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney came out for Wii. So
Objection!
Now you can adjust your remote. Yeah, you can just throw your remote right into the TV and object about that.
in that one, you just get to play as the judge and use your Wii remote as a gavel.
As a gavel? Nice.
Slam it. Put the hammer down. Wait,
so let's see.
Is Project Hammer coming out soon?
Yes. It's coming out in March.
Excited for hammers we were?
Yeah, we were all losing our minds over those hammers.
You know, five years in development.
When all the original Wii games were going to be about different tools.
Yeah, I missed that.
Project Screwdriver. I can't believe that that got canceled.
I'm sorry, Matt. You can go out and build it yourself. I mean, you know, pick up that copyright.
Oh, no.
So what happened with Project Hammer exactly? I was kind of excited for
it. I don't know.
It
was just a game, and it had a hammer in it, and it was like a guy walking around with a hammer, and we all lost our minds about it because it was a...
Yeah, exactly.
It was a Wii mature game with game. Hammers.
Yeah,
I don't know. Hammer Brothers.
Oh,
they made it into a Hammer Brothers spinoff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Some news about mature games for Wii is that Sega's not going to be making anymore because Dead Space from EA did not sell well.
And Capcom...
Originally... Go ahead.
I was marketed so well.
I was saying that Capcom started doing the exact same thing and saying that because Darkside Chronicles didn't sell well, they're saying that Capcom's future lies on the PS3 and Xbox 360. And so that means they're probably not going to be developing any more mature titles.
They don't market these games.
But the thing is
he
said, he's like, people, when the Wii came out, everybody went and bought Resident Evil 4. He's like, because that was the only thing out there. Now, to compare those two games...
It was a good game.
Yeah, to compare those games is retarded. Everybody... how many light rail shooters light rail shooters?
Sega made...
light rail shooters.
Sorry, light gun rail shooters.
How many bullet
Sega
train
did,
shooters?
Sega did House of the Dead. Capcom did the two Resident
Evil
games.
Sega also did Mad
and
World.
And EA did Dead Space.
That's not a light...
No, but we're talking about rail shooters.
Okay, but
why'd you say
Matt? I mean, how's a rail shooter going to work for PS3 and 360.
But that's the thing, is that they can crap out rail shooters, and then they get upset when people are like, we don't want to play rail shooters anymore.
Yeah, I know. Dead Space was also a rail shooter. Not saying it was a bad game, but
they're doing another Dead Space now that's not...
There was a time and place for rail shooters, but I don't think it's...
No, nobody wants to play
on a home console.
It could work on a home console. They just need to actually sell the damn... They have to actually advertise the damn thing so people
know it exists. But none of them are that... I mean, you can sit down and play it for like 40 minutes, and then you're like, all right,
That's about it. I mean...
Exactly. Right, that's why they're great at arcades.
There's not a very big market for them, but the companies are acting like they're surprised about these games not selling.
And they're supposed to be indicative of mature games, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
So
exactly.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But the thing is, to say that the only reason why people bought Resident Evil 4 was because it was the only game out there, and saying that the Wii audience doesn't like mature games is stupid. Resident Evil 4 sold well because it was awesome and is a really great port.
And it was also
advertised. If they made another Resident Evil game with the Resident Evil 4 engine, I'd buy the crap out of that, and tons of people would.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 5?
Yeah, Matt and I have always said that it would be cool if they did like a spin-off of 5 using some of the characters or in the same setting and just ported over to Wii.
Yeah, I said they should make a
Well, there's no
story.
Need for Resident Evil 5 on Wii once the PS1 comes out. And Natal, maybe.
Yeah. Did you hear about how CES, everything at CES this year is motion controls?
And 3D,
yeah.
Yeah.
And aren't they also using, like, mind controls?
Yes.
Which is sort of... It's not effective. I don't think it's very effective.
No, what mind control
Not effective against other psychic Pokemon.
No, I mean, the way they do it is by... I guess they do it by EEG. So, you wear...
No, they just hook electrodes up to people's penis... And then they show them hot lady pictures, and then they get boners, and then the character jumps every time it throbs.
Well, you hack into your mind frame.
Oh, Chase, did you ever see that game? It was... you guys might have seen it as well. It had, like, a dildo controller, and, like, there was a ring on it, and you were supposed to, like, hack it off, and, like, every time you did that, it was, like, a Space Invaders... Or not a Space Invaders. Yeah, a Space Invaders kind of game. And, like, every time you moved your hand up and down, you would shoot missiles.
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Terribly great.
There is that old arcade game, Beat 'em and Eat 'em.
What is that?
You're doing a similar thing, but in the game, like, it's a regular arcade game, but for adults. You know, and you're shooting, you know, loads, and there's a lady at the top of the screen, and I think you're trying to catch them. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know which one you play as. I haven't played
that game.
It,
was like, you know, when games had high concepts back in the old days.
It's like a rated, it's like a rated X Hungry Hungry Hippos, huh?
Yeah, more or less.
This guy had an incredible stamina that could just keep pumping them out one after the other. It was amazing.
But for the PS3 controls, and even Natal, it's going to be awfully gimmicky if you're going to just put in for three games.
Well, what they were doing is they were doing at CES, they were doing motion controls for Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they had play Modern Warfare with a machine gun.
No way.
Yeah, but you know how awkward that shit's going to be? It's going to end up being like the wand.
I don't know.
The only real way they could do is like with the Nintendo wand. How the hell are you going to move your character?
I don't know. It just reminds me of how movie producers see the way people play video games in movies, where it's like, oh man, these people just want to put themselves in the game. They just want to be in the game. And so they're all trying to put people in the game. I just like playing games with my controllers.
And the thing about the Wii controller is it's a perfectly comfortable.
It is a controller.
As well.
That's why I wonder like how the Natal is going to really work with a first-person shooter, for example.
Exactly.
It'll be great
to get tiring and boring.
It'll be great to have your arm up, but let's say you got it.
Oh, they found out that Natal uses a tenth of the Xbox's power, like processing power. So
right,
they're gonna
because they removed a chip from it.
Yeah, so they're gonna have to dumb down the games, so the games aren't gonna be like top notch like graphics.
I also saw that it runs at 30 frames per second. Is that the camera inside of this hall? Do you know?
I don't know.
That's it?
Scan it.
I mean, 30 frames per second for a camera? That's good.
Yeah.
So the
camera
is 30 frames per second, but I figure
it's
capturing
at 30
frames per second. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's the camera.
But isn't that what most camcorders do?
Yeah, yeah. That's
right. Which is good.
Well, it shoots on 35 millimeter.
Yeah, there we go.
I thought you were saying that the frame rate that you see on the screen is 30 frames per second.
Right, I know what you thought.
Okay,
no.
It's capturing it.
Right? I know what you thought. Dummy.
What else?
Any
other news from CES?
I didn't read a lot of it. I read as far as 3D games and tons of different companies trying motion controls, and I went, oh gosh, no. And then I stopped reading.
Yeah. Oh, here's something. New Super Mario Bros. Wii is selling like beyond
hotcakes?
Anything.
It's the Beanie Babies of this decade.
Somehow.
Pretty much.
I'm shocked.
In Japan, they've sold almost 3 million. In America, it's almost 4.5 million. In other areas, it's almost 3 million. So total, they've almost sold 10 million copies. And how long has it been out?
A month and a half.
Like, a month?
That's the game that a bunch of Nintendo haters were like, yep, way to just crap out a game for everybody.
But the thing is, everybody likes the game.
And the game is awesome.
The game is awesome.
It is a classic, like, side-scrolling Mario game, and it's really good.
And the biggest complaint has been, well, there's two Toads.
Yeah, that's not a complaint for me.
Well, I think the biggest complaint for me is just it doesn't look any different than the DS one. But
I think it looks a little better, but yeah.
It looks
I know
a little
what
better,
mean.
But it's a fucking, what do you expect from a 2D side-scroller?
Yeah.
Well,
like, I don't expect Contra. If Contra ever came out,
you can say, what do you expect from a 2D side-scroller when. But we've seen, what was it called? Shadow Complex, where that was a side-scroller and
that
looked incredible.
Realistic.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. It looks good for what the Wii can do for a simple, good-looking side-scrolling game.
I think for what the art style is supposed to be, I don't really see how much better the graphics could be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. But
New Super Mario Galaxy added a lot to that with the texture to Mario's jeans and.
You say the same about Smash.
Oh, sorry. Super Mario Galaxy.
You could also talk. You could talk about that with Brawl also though. Brawl is a great looking 2D game, right? It's a 2D fighter essentially. And even though it has
2.5D,
but you see it in 2D, and even if you see the gene marks in Mario's overalls, it doesn't really add a whole lot.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
no, but the textures, but the textures
in that game where it's got
fantastic.
The camera mode where you pause and
I
you
think
look
no, but while you're actively playing the game, I mean that's what we're talking about here. You're actively playing the game. You're not sitting there dropping your jaw and saying, "Wow, the detail on his jeans are amazing."
Well, maybe you're not.
Yeah, you're not a jean critic like me. Me can't get enough of those jeans.
I can't get enough of jeans, babe.
Matt's right.
Right all wrong.
Smash Mouth said it right. I can't get enough of jeans, baby.
Alright, so... I think that's pretty good for gaming news. So now, we're going to attempt to tackle a very controversial topic.
Gays in games. Do they belong in games?
No.
Faggots in the gaming community.
Ballad of Gay Tony.
Fuck.
No. We're going to talk about games as art. If they are art, what is art?
Oh, what is art? The greatest question of all time.
Everything.
Go ahead, answer that one, Adam.
Answer
what
it
is
right
art?
Here.
Art is
art.
Like when
art
your
is
mind
pretty.
Makes a movie, and then you put that movie in a theater. And that theater is called
yes.
art.
What is art is almost an unanswerable question.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, Chase, do you have any good starting points for this?
I think maybe the most important thing to start with is to consider the art institution.
Oh, I went to Art
as
Institute.
A separate kind of thing. Not the Art Institute, I mean like the institution of
yeah,
art. They you know, that's what they refer to themselves as, you know,
right,
the whole
right.
critique, gallery, museum setting.
So are you saying can games
so.
Be fine art?
Right,
that's kind of like a different question in and of itself.
The institution kind of you know knows what it wants or thinks it does, and so I feel like you know in their current state, games would not be accepted by the institution. Mm.
But art itself is determined by it's determined by social factors for one thing, right?
I think it's each person.
But the thing is, that's sort of like copping out also, because...
So is that the end of the discussion?
Yes, we're done.
Podcast a five-year-old that draws finger paintings, that's considered art. It means something to them, right? Anything
right.
could be...
It's a form of expression.
It's a form... Art is any form of expression.
Yeah.
So the question...
Yeah,
games
yeah.
are a form of expression. Whether that's a question or not is irrelevant.
Math is a form of expression.
Right.
Games are very similar to movies in the sense that, I mean, if you can call, I mean, a film is art, a lot of times movie can be art. But, I mean, you have your popcorn movie equivalent of a video game, but then you have games like Okami and Shadow of the Colossus.
Why is Okami art? Just because it has a cool
Yeah, that was the thing.
Style?
So I think the big art question, one of the... The games as art question that came up was when Okami had come out because it looked like a painting.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. That's just the style.
Well, that's the thing, and the thing, and part of the problem with games is the major audience of games right now, they're getting older, but the most part they're still kids. They don't really know what the fuck they're talking about, right? I mean, the audience is getting older. And
it's getting older, but I mean, you're still going to have people who aren't. I mean, they're old, but they're not mature, and they don't. I mean,
no, but the,
I don't mean mature
well, no, the,
in that there's blood.
Well, the point.
Blood.
So what does that have to do with Okami?
So Okami itself, it looks like.
I didn't mean Okami. What I actually meant was Ico.
Oh, okay.
I was meaning that team.
Well, Alex does have quite a bit to say about Okami.
Like Okami,
so.
But that and what I meant by I don't know.
Trash on Okami, Alex.
Okami is a great looking game. Don't get me wrong. But just because something looks great doesn't mean it's art. It has to,
yeah.
Like video games have to
I
sort.
So,
so video games have to do so, it do something that separates.
You could say that the art direction in the game, meaning
you,
just
yeah.
the way.
But
I mean, yeah,
if you
I
read,
don't think that
if
they
you
were
read review,
truly.
Yeah, if you
it's storytelling in video games.
If you read the reviews
really.
For Okami, what every reviewer brings up is video games have reached this new pinnacle of art, or are games art? They start asking these stupid-ass questions when they don't really know what art is. And...
Well, nobody knows what... Well, nobody,
right.
you know, quote-unquote
No, well,
knows
the thing is,
really
their version of art is, it's a pretty picture. And
right.
and art itself is a much
right.
deeper question. It's What does it present to society? What does this show for a demographic? Mm-hmm. What does this show about ourselves? And Okami doesn't really do any of that. It tells a lot of stories very similar to Zelda that's been done for, you know, in other RPGs. It's been done for several years already. It's just made it very pretty. And so people like pretty things.
All right.
Yeah. Like, the institution, I think, like, the most important thing for in the art institution is that art is a critique of something. Like, that it is, it's pointing out a flaw or something like that. So
I don't know if I...
I mean, in one way, you could look at, like, even the way you would experience the game. Like, say, Modern Warfare 2, I actually recently did kind of a performance in that game as a critique on, you know, the warfare, the war. So, like...
I think that, you know, their whole premise was, hey, man, we're making a gritty action movie. Let's make it, like, disturbing.
Right.
I don't think that they were truly like, you know what, let's really critique what it means to be an American during these times of turmoil and war. I don't think that's what they meant.
That was kind of the point of my project, was, like, just the random, like, banter that goes on in an online match, particularly, which is, like, you know, it's pretty hilarious if you just sit back and listen to it.
Yeah. Right, so Chase, why don't you briefly explain what you did?
I was kind of acting like a, like I had, you know, I was trying to, like, play the game more realistically, I guess, so I was, or in a way, I was kind of hiding. And I had some perks that helped me hide a little bit. But I was basically, like, just hiding in the grass, like, waiting and listening to what they were talking about. And, like, it was pretty ridiculous. You know, they would see me and like, freak out. Like, oh my gosh, I thought that was a dead body. It's like, well, you just killed some guy, and you just got killed yourself because you just spawned right behind me. I don't know. You know, maybe not the most interesting, but I think the teacher liked it well enough because it seemed relevant.
I get the impression, like, if you played, especially, like, the first Call of Duty games, or Medal of Honor Allied Assault, because they had the big D-Day scene.
Right.
And I think they really tried going for that in terms of, you try making something as realistic as possible, and games as a... I guess the question is, are video games as a medium capable of making that much of a realization as other art forms?
Well, is just being real
well, that's
art?
No.
It's not just that, right? It's... When you're... The advantage a game has over a movie, for instance, is that a game allows you choices. It's
right,
interactive.
It's interactive.
And the question is, have they really... That's really what they're trying to push now. And the question is if it's been really effective lately. Like, BioShock, I've heard... A friend of mine had told me BioShock and Fallout 3 are really getting close to it. That...
I still think... No, I disagree. I think that's just good storytelling. But, I mean, I guess you can say... I mean, writing is... And creative writing is an art form.
No, I mean, games...
Well, no, that's true. But can you,
really don't
can
have,
you do what you do in BioShock in a movie, essentially?
No. No, but the other thing is...
There's an artistry to it, but I'm not saying that is that means it's fine art.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
I think it can get there. I just don't think it's gotten there.
Well...
I don't think it's gotten there yet.
It's been... There's been... as far as, like, institutionally accepted art, there have been a few artists that experiment with that. For instance, I think Kotaku even talked about it a while back, an artist named Corey Archangel, that had modified a ROM of Super Mario World, or yeah, Super Mario Brothers
for the NES.
And so, yeah, for NES. And so, in the gallery, it was just a projection of and the NES was there. It was playing this ROM. I think he put it back on a cartridge.
Yeah.
And so the NES was playing, and it was just the clouds, the cloud sprites were just kind of floating by, and there was no ground or anything, just blue and clouds floating by. And that was pretty well received.
But that's using games or the technology of...
That's like modifying it.
But that's using it as a medium, a means for making fine art.
Right.
Right.
I mean that.
Right.
I mean, yeah,
it's,
that's
it's
an
not,
interesting
it's
way
not,
of doing it. But the game itself
not
is not
using,
the art.
Right. Right.
Well,
I don't know. I think defining.
But getting back to talking about the choices in games, games don't really. We don't have the technology yet to really make a game where you can make choices that
everything is scripted. There's the illusion of making.
But that's so far what it's been. And the question is whether or not it can get beyond that. If that's the direction that games want to get,
it definitely can. When things can get more procedural and we don't have to worry about.
Well, I really hate dialogue trees. I really hate, you know, you're given one of two choices, essentially, of what you're going to say. I really hate something like that's really restricting.
Alex, have you played Mass Effect?
No.
Okay.
And from what I've heard about it, I really don't want to play so much of Mass Effect. Just because it just seems, because when you know what to expect, when you know that when the illusion is gone, it just doesn't seem that interesting anymore.
What's the illusion?
I got the impression that you go to a planet, you do a bunch of things, and then you can go to another planet and do a bunch of things, and then you're given a couple choices on whatever the hell you want to do, but it's pre-rendered choices, right? It's you could either do it or you don't do it. And you do
but you're given that's the biggest tree of choices that
that's the thing. It's still a tree of choices.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, that's the biggest one, that's the most widespread one, so, you know, that might give you an idea of what people are trying to get at.
Yeah.
In more, open-ended decisions.
But it's...
Have you guys...
I never really had much interest with that, so... And I don't really have the time.
Have you guys read Ender's Game?
No.
Okay, so in the book, Ender... In Battle School, Ender plays this game that is the video game that they have there. It's called...
Ender's Game?
Yeah, he plays Ender's Game. It's his own game. He designed it. No, I forgot what the game's called, but there's part of it called The Giant's Drink. But basically the game is like the ultimate game where you can do anything. And it's cool the way it's described, because it's really what you think of when you think of choices in a video game or something like that. Because you start out and... Like, you can go play games in every different place you go. It's kind of like a fantasy world. You play a different game and you become these different creatures. Like, if you want to go play in the pond, you become like a frog or something. I don't know. It's the way it's described is really weird. You'd have to read it to understand, but...
Hmm.
Well, what about something like Scribblenauts?
That was what they marketed it as, but it's not that at all.
Not yet. Well, I mean, so here's the thing with... Here's the thing with a game like Scribblenauts. You are given a task, but you can complete the task basically in almost any way you want to. There's a limit, but the limit is the number of objects, right?
Right.
It's not how you do it. So a dialogue tree, it tells you you have to follow a set path of what you speak or what choice you make. In this case, you're given a shitload of tools. And however you decide to use those tools, that's the open-ended part. So you
well, it's still not open-ended. I mean, there still are things you cannot do and ways you have to solve puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, there's a set number of ways that the puzzle can be solved.
Based on what objects you can have.
But this
factor is the number of objects. The limiting factor there is the number of objects you have. It's not the choices that you're forced to make by the game.
Those are your choices.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole point.
This all comes back to what is the point of what you're saying? What does that mean?
Right.
How does that make it art? What? But the thing is defining art is such a stupid thing to do.
So the reason to bring this up would be, this is what sets games apart from movies, from pictures, from other mediums.
They become their own art form by...
Yeah, they are their own art form because there's an artistry to crafting it and creating it.
But the whole point is that...
But these are sort of the tools. So what's being developed now are the tools in order to be able to make the artistry. That's
right.
What's
still the art.
I think they're already.
Are you guys saying that there's art in making the game?
Yes, there's an art to making a game. Yes.
Yeah, there is an art.
And I think there's an art to the final product as well.
Is making the game itself art?
Yes.
No,
I think so.
Okay.
It's different. But I think the whole point is that the games are going to be to a point where
there's a certain type of thing that a game can offer that no other medium can, which I don't... I mean, games kind of have that, but it... The whole point is, like, it's not much more than... Even if it's presented in a different way, it's not much more than a board game where you can... Or a card game where you can get points like that.
Well, they haven't... And the thing is, if you talk about, you know, other forms of art that we accept as art today, sort of went through this, right? Comic books are probably the easiest example. Mm-hmm. In the 1950s, you talk about a fucking Spider-Man comic, it's a Spider-Man comic for little kids. And yet, you come around to the 80s, and something like The Watchmen is written, something like a guy like Neil Gaiman comes around and writes Sandman, where you have this huge-ass story that you can never really effectively tell in any other form or medium. And it's told so succinctly and so provocatively. And you sort of have to force yourself to admit, well, this really is an art form. It's become art. There's no real set point, but it does something...
Why is it art, though?
It does it because it tells a story in no other way. It makes you really think. It reveals something about society in a different viewpoint.
But I think that is... But the thing is, you say that it's an art, but...
That's art.
Yes. But I'm saying... Alan Moore can write a great comic book, but great books have already been written.
But the whole point is he was telling a story that could only be told in comic form. So it's
It could be novelized easily.
The Watchmen, no way. The visuals of Watchmen are half the story.
If you talk to Jess Nevin,
that's true, exactly.
If you talk to somebody like if you hear interviews by guys like Jess Nevins, who's worked with Alan Moore and has been documenting all this stuff, like comic and comics and serials and so forth. He'll tell you he does, like Alan Moore does stuff in comics that Shakespeare wouldn't be able to do in his plays, or that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just so close to us that
I agree because after Matt said what he said, thinking about it, I mean, like he uses foreshadowing in the imagery itself.
And
there's stuff that's not written that is seen that alludes to other things.
There's parallels in a couple of the at least one of the chapters in The Watchmen where the beginning and the end are actually the same.
In the dialogue, it's not represented in that way at all.
It's only
in the visuals.
It's a combination of the two.
But with something like video games are a hybrid of that. I mean,
but the whole point is
there's the visuals like a movie, but there's the storytelling.
The point is
that what video games don't have to be. They have their own thing, which is choice, which is what video games have that no other medium has that hasn't reached its potential yet. So once
I see what you're saying.
Let's put this thing a little further. Video games have how many years have it really gotten popularized?
Yeah, like 25.
25 years. To 30 years. Comics, it took them maybe 50.
I mean, home video games, not even... I mean, they were popular, but they really have only... The NES really is the start of the home video games, so that was like 23 years ago.
And it's taken... It's already evolved. Games themselves have evolved quite a bit since the 1970s, the 1980s and 1990s, and now. I mean, the storytelling element has become a lot more powerful now than it has been in 1995. It used to just be RPGs that told big-ass stories. Now it's action games actually telling the stories. The question is, how far can it get? How much more mature can it get?
This technology better, quote-unquote reaching its potential, is that going to help make games art? Is that going to help people make art with games?
No, what it will do is fully realize the potential as games as their individual art form, rather than...
As art form or as technology?
Well, technology is merely a tool, right?
Yeah, the technology is a tool.
Without technology...
So are you guys saying that it needs to reach its full potential before it can become art?
Its own art form. I mean, right now what video games are doing are basically just aping movies. Yeah. And not that they can be told in slightly different way in video games, but...
But it's been getting much better, right? I mean, so if you compare it from... the Japanese way has been telling a long-ass cutscene. Metal Gear Solid 4, you know, you watch...
That's... Yeah, it's a movie, though.
It's a movie.
Exactly.
But But you compare that to Half-Life 2, where the American way has been to start integrating that story into the actual playing of the game.
Yeah, but that's still, it's still just a first-person camera of a movie.
It still is, but
you're part of the
character. Yeah, but what he's saying is
it's still obvious progression going on.
Yeah, there is.
And I'm not saying it, like I said, I don't think it's reached it, right? But I think it's definitely starting to get there. It's starting to take shape. It's becoming more than just a movie with you playing some stuff in the middle of it.
It's on the
I think a prime example of a Metroid Prime example. Oh. No, I'm not going to actually say Metroid Prime. But
shows
prime,
are ruins.
I know, this game is so pretty.
I know.
But a really good example of, I think, that shows that video games still have a long way to go is that two video games recently that have come out that have kind of been pushing for games as art, which are BioShock and Braid, both had almost the same like message, but it's almost the opposite of you have all these choices. It was, you don't have a choice. Why are you doing this? You're just doing this because you think it is, because you should, because you're playing a game. Like that, it was like the same exact message. It was kind of like a mind fudge at the end of the.
BioShock is like so polarized, though. It's like, you know, the moral choice that you're presented with is, do I, you know, save this little girl or kill this little girl?
Yeah, and then at the end of the game, they're like, oh, you never had a choice because we were just asking you to do it the whole time.
Right.
And then, okay, thanks.
Spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert.
I'm still playing that game.
I still have to play BioShock, and
a friend of mine. I have not been impressed by that game.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had told me
that. I don't
think
they'll make it through it.
And I brought this up with him, and he said definitely games are getting to the point of art. And he brought up, he never read, you know, he read Atlas Shrugged and said, you know, oh, wow, this is, you know, this is a piece of shit. But then BioShock really made him think about Ayn Rand's, what Ayn Rand was talking about whatever the, I forgot what her philosophy was. You know, making choices for yourself versus everybody else. And for a game to be able to start doing that is indicative of it's starting to get there. Now the whole question is how story writers are actually going to reach that point. Now maybe in 40 years they'll be able to do something. I just think it's still a new art, too new of a thing for really mature writers to have gotten into so far. And most of this, I mean, let's face it, most of the stories fucking suck in video games.
Well, I think when becoming an art form, I think every art form is considered it before it's reached its full potential. Because, I mean, back in, like, the Renaissance period, the reason for painting was because taking photographs was impossible.
Yeah.
And they did that to capture moments in time, and that's what they did. But nobody really did a form of expression until that time. It was just.
But that's why art is determined by later generations. It usually takes several years before anybody realizes. Mm-hmm. Any kind of like The Great Gatsby is considered a work of art. But when that book came out, it was a popular book. Shakespeare was considered popular at his time. It was pop. Right.
Yeah.
But we look at Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet now as complete works of art. In 40 years' time, we may start seeing Mario and Zelda and Donkey Kong as forms of art in ways that we would never have imagined. Just how society has changed it over time.
BMXXXX.
Yeah.
I keep on coming back to comic books. I read a blog recently about
I can't turn into a ball yet. Sorry. Keep going.
I was reading a blog about the first Silver Surfer story. And the guy was describing it as basically it was a story of redemption where this alien comes to Earth and basically tries finding a habitable place for his master to feed off of. And he sees this beauty of this world, and he goes against his master. It's like a Greek tragedy.
It's Avatar.
But then,
no, that's.
But then you read. But then, Then you realize, wait, it's the fucking Silver Surfer. It's the Fantastic Four. It's a bunch of it's four guys that try going to the moon to beat the Russians, and they got these superpowers.
Five guys. Dr. Doom was there too. I saw the movie.
But you know, I mean, it's when you look you look back into the past, we're talking about at least 60 years now. It's provocative.
Well, I mean, every story is it's already been told in one way or another. Really, I mean. There's only so many stories to tell.
Oh, sorry. How did I ever get as far as I did in this game when I was in the 8th grade? I just spent the last about 10 minutes trying to find a door that was right in front of me.
Anyway, fantastic.
Sorry, continue. What were you saying?
Chase.
I made my point just that, like, every story has been told, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, every story now, you know, even new stories or what we consider new are like they're retellings or, you know, modified versions with maybe a little more added or made more relevant.
That's definitely true. It's not just telling
Alex, you got really quiet.
Oh, sorry.
Are you far away from your microphone?
No, it's starting to come back up.
So listening to you guys, it sounds like you're talking a lot about story and interactivity. So, like, are those, in your opinions, the only aspects to making art with video games?
Well, there is art within video games that's already established.
Yeah, like the visual art, the music.
The systems
beyond. We already know that visuals and music are art.
But is the way that video games make art through their story and interactivity and nothing else?
No.
I think that's their advantage.
Yeah, I think
The part, the interactivity and story can be interwoven in a way that you can't have in movies or books. Unless you're reading a great Choose Your Own Adventure book, then they already have
the Hardy Boys.
I think there's
other forms, there's other ways that video games could be seen as art. I mean, it's a game, right? A game has systems inside, a game has a system built into it. There's rules to a game. And you could look at it that way as art also. Like, Tetris would be a great example of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, like, just the, I don't know, I guess...
Well, Tetris wasn't art until Boom Blocks, you know? That made us really appreciate how Tetris is an art form.
But, like, when you're looking at art as a system, I can see games having an advantage that way. But that's such an esoteric way of looking at things that very few people, unless you talk to like a philosopher, some philosopher or something, they can't really.
So what if a game doesn't have a story or it doesn't have interactivity? What would you think of that?
Like what we're talking about Tetris. A game doesn't have interactivity, so it's not a game. What would it be?
Yeah.
It'd be a movie.
Well, does it have to be interactive to be a game?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of a game. That's the advantage of a game.
That's what a game means.
Yeah, interactive means you actually have some control.
The definition of game is that you're doing something.
You're playing it.
Okay.
Right.
Adam's trying to learn. Adam's just doing this so he can know what a game is.
Yes.
He's like, have you guys played this great game, Good Luck Chuck?
It's a research project.
I put it in my Xbox. It was good.
Well, I mean, I think Adam's maybe... like. We were both in a art games class, and
we had a really good discussion earlier this week, and I'm kind of sorry I didn't record it, but
yeah, probably been good.
Yeah.
What was the artiest game?
I'm sure there'll be more good ones.
What's the artiest line?
I'm just asking questions to try to, you know, get different responses from you guys. So our teacher had us play some quote unquote what are called art games, and mine, basically, it's called 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
In heaven?
Uniqueness.
In heaven?
Yes.
Is that where you go
heaven.
And you make out with a girl in a closet?
There were lots of virgins.
Wait,
no.
Four minutes, 33 seconds, like the John Cage?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay.
Yes, that's where the name comes from. So what the game is it's an EXE that can be played on the PC. It's free to download. You double-click on it, starts running, and what you see is maybe like a 500 by 500 window that is, I think it's either black or it's white, but...
It's black and it fills up.
Okay, so it's black, and it starts filling up with a white bar that starts from the left side, and it goes progressively towards the right side, and it takes 4 minutes and 33 seconds to complete. And so during that time, if anybody else in the world is playing that game, your game session ends. And so there can only be one person playing the game in the world at one time. And the point of the game is twofold, to interact with each other in that you stop one person from playing the game and that you try to win it for yourself. And then, of course, winning the game, going the full 4 minutes and 33 seconds without anybody in the world playing the game other than yourself.
I don't really see that as a game, more as just like that could have been programmed on a computer in 1957.
Well, I mean, it would be a game the moment you double-click on the .exe file. That's the interactive.
Right.
It becomes a game in the way you interact with it, because, you know, we were talking about this, like, you know, our teacher would start playing it, and, like, you know, he'd get, you know, it would close his window, so he would wait 4 minutes and 30 seconds to open it again, whoever else had
right,
closed
so
him.
He made a program that would just open up the program every 4 minutes and 30 seconds as an art project on this piece of art. But, you know, this is a game with no story and very, very small interactivity, and it's considered an art game. So I guess...
Well, I don't know if it's...
Concept,
but
then,
well, that's also like
give me Army of Two. Could you have two commandos in that game at the same time?
Were they wearing skull masks?
But I would call that like a system game, right? That would be a that's something like the system is the art of the game.
Thumb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it is a game. We all agree
on
that.
It's a game. It's there's interactivity to it. There's rules involved.
Life is a game.
I think it's only a game when, like he said, it's only a game when you do get interrupted. It's no fun if you fire it up and the first time you do make it the 4 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right.
Way more interesting, you know, and somewhat tactical.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get several players playing it and all defeating each other.
I am going to die because this thing sucks.
So, I don't know. I mean, this game doesn't use any of the methods that you all were talking about earlier. Like, it's not using this point of,
Well, I think what we were talking about is most likely the most obvious way it can become a quote-unquote respected art form.
Well, and a respected art form for people to enjoy.
Yeah.
Nobody enjoys John Cage's composition.
Okay, so that brings up another thing I wanted to talk about, is why don't people enjoy these very basic, you know, quote-unquote art
games?
You
ever been to the MoMA before? Or you ever been to the Guggenheim before?
There are people jerking off their art.
Like, there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of art out there that people don't enjoy either, that they don't.
Yeah, and there's a lot of art there's a lot of art that just panders, that tries to be art, and it's just a load of crap.
And it's the same thing.
Trust me, I went to art school. There's lots of it.
And it's gonna happen the same thing with video games.
Yeah.
Most of the shit in the Guggenheim, I really don't know. You know, I guess it's art because somebody said it is, but fuck, I could have done it in my backyard.
Yeah,
but that's
I could have shat on a canvas and sold it and said, you know, this.
Well, that's going back to the Institute, is that, you know, people say that all the time with minimalism. You know, anybody can do it, but the point of that kind of art is the concept and not the product.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You wonder if it's really the concept, though.
There was no other door.
Or is it just because somebody can actually make some money off of it?
Well, it's a ton of different factors. Like,
well, it's the fact that it was done, and done first, and that it's a statement towards something. I mean, yeah, anybody could
splatter paint.
Yeah, could shoot paint out their butthole like Jackson Pollock. But it's the fact that he did it first and he called it art, that it's the statement. It raises questions. Mm-hmm. That's what the art is.
Well,
it's not necessarily, oh, that's a pretty picture, I want to hang that on my wall.
No, but I wonder really what the relevance in what we're interested in right here.
What are we interested
in? We're interested more in, you know, the storytelling aspect of it, the more popular art, the stuff that will appeal to a large enough, it will appeal to a large enough people, and a large enough people will understand what's going on.
Okay, so commercial art games.
Pretty much. It'll become commercialized.
Okay.
There's a degree of it, right?
But that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is commercial games versus non-commercial games, because these art games are usually very non-commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're created for a select group of quote-unquote elite, you know, people who understand art, and not for, you know, everyone else who just looks at a painting and says, ooh, that's pretty,
which
I like it.
To me, I feel like that defeats the purpose of art, although, I mean, almost all art is directed towards a demographic. Mm-hmm. It's like, art should be accessible.
But the most popular,
but
that's the thing, the most,
don't.
The most popular of art, the most progressive of art, the ones that stand out are the ones that everybody, a lot of people can understand, right? Beethoven.
But art is very personal. It doesn't need, I mean, it's something that doesn't need to fit a demographic, or it doesn't need to expand itself.
So that's why it's
however
that's why, like,
you.
That's why I would say something like Beethoven and Mozart fit art, because a lot of people can understand it of all cultures. But then when you get to Philip Glass, very few people are going to really, they're going to be like, well, okay, it's minimalist. That's great. They're not going
like,
to get
that guy's
it.
That guy's a total glass hole.
Yeah. when you get to late, when you get to like late Romantic to the contemporary era of music, of classical music, people just don't get it anymore. It becomes inaccessible. You have to be sort of in on the joke.
So are you saying that in order to be art, it has to cater to a large demographic?
No, I mean, I thought we determined like art itself could be whatever the hell people want it to be. Whether or not it's going to really be able to make an impact is whether or not it can, A, be progressive enough, and B, if it gets to a large enough audience, it's going to...
You skipped A when you said that. You said, A, be progressive. What was A? I understand that B was progressive, but what was A?
I hate you.
Oh, wait, is it like progressive auto insurance? Like,
It's Aaron
Insurance.
Aaron Insurance.
That's what I meant.
Or Flow is,
that's right. That's
oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's a hot lady for every auto insurance.
I wonder if
Geico... Not for Allstate.
Geico's going to Allstate.
Allstate's got that black guy with a very smooth voice.
Does anybody have a Latifah? Oh, yeah, Queen Latifah. He's a Queen Latifah. Is there any hentai of Flo and Aaron Esurance?
Hey, guys.
Getting double teamed
guess what,
by...
Matt's
Rule 34, it's out
hey,
there.
Hey, yeah, that's a new fan it. Art.
Yep. New fantastic, art. Oh, yeah, that's in. Right. Send it in. We'll add it with all the other fan art we get.
Fan art is art. How about that? Fan art is art.
Oh, Chase. Chase draws. Yeah. He draws pretty good. Matt, why don't you tell him?
What's,
and he'll get,
what's drawing?
I don't know, whatever your prizes were.
What is
yeah,
drawing?
Dead silence.
That's the new question.
What
games
is
drawing?
What is drawing?
Flow from the progressive commercial.
Matt, I think you
who's
shut off
hotter,
our headphones.
Flow or Aaron Esurance? No, I didn't.
You did for me, but now it's back.
All right, so...
Jeez, there's a wasp infection in the Chozo Ruins. What am I, an exterminator or a bounty hunter?
You're both.
What's the difference?
How am I supposed to hunt bounties when I'm getting stung constantly?
Bug spray.
Oh, I haven't found that power-up yet, though.
No, right, you haven't gotten it.
All right, so... I don't know, I feel like we can keep going.
How?
What else?
I think we've... Because you want this to be 2 hours long?
I want it to be 3 hours long.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even four.
Dear.
All right, you guys keep talking. I'm going to start making dinner.
We did it! We did it! That was fast. Hey, guys. Okay, Chase.
Yes?
Draw me a picture. Me and Alex in an Eiffel Tower position with Ash's mom from Pokemon.
Oh, you guys know. You introduced that, I think, on the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. So where the hell has been your fucking
fan? You never got it?
No, we never got it.
Oh, man. Damn it. All right, I'll wait.
I think I'm going to do one, too, of that.
Guys, everyone...
Uh-oh, Rule 34.
Everyone check the chat.
Uh-oh.
It's Aaron Insurance
Uh-oh.
And Flo.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, it does exist! ladies and gentlemen listening to this podcast, we have... Hold on, let me pause this game. I don't want to die. It looks like we got Aaron Insurance wearing a crotchless strap-on. Flo is bent way over in handcuffs and ankle cuffs. Her legs are spread. Her hands are between her legs. She's sopping wet. She's about to get it.
Do you have a bathroom here?
No, we sold our bathroom to buy you some combs.
Oh, no. I sold my hair to buy you...
Toilets?
Toilet. Extra toilet.
And then Alex reaped all the benefits.
It's the gift of the magi. Well, the gift of the vagi over here with all these pictures we're looking at.
I know. This is like Christmas all over again.
Yeah.
Here's this one. This one's quite as pornographic.
It's a Festivus miracle.
Then no thanks.
This one's just creepy.
I remember this about this game. Oh, there are rarely any situations where I'm not panicking in this game.
All right, this one's a
because I'm constantly being attacked by things. Oh my god!
Are you playing the first one?
Yeah, I'm playing the first one.
Okay.
Did you guys get a?
Yeah, that one.
Is there a part of this game where Samus just goes to like her house and like you take a nap and you read some books and some literature, some pamphlets?
That's the sequel. That they haven't released yet. That's going to be Metroid Other M.
There's a Squeakle?
Yeah, the Squeakle.
Yeah, she smokes a pipe.
Oh, well, so far, they can start adding Squeakles. Yeah, Metroid Other M. I don't know how excited I am for that game.
Oh, that's something we can talk about kind of briefly. Is what do you guys think about, like, because they've announced that Zelda is going to come out this year.
Yeah.
We think.
It will. Mario
Galaxy 2 is going to come out this year, and Metroid Other M is also slated for this year. So that's their main, you know, three of their big franchises coming out all in the same year.
But one of those Nintendo is not even making.
What, Other M?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did they come out at the same year previously with Galaxy, Metroid Prime 3, and Twilight Princess, or were they like...
No, Twilight was at launch, right?
So it was Metroid.
Yeah, so that was 2006.
Prime 3 was like maybe
Metroid came out shortly after launch.
Later.
Wait, was I thought Mario Galaxy came out.
Metroid Prime 3 and Metroid Galaxy came out in the same year.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy and Metroid Prime 3, but I think
okay, but they were all very close.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you could have there could be a game coming out in June and another game coming out in December. If they have Mario Galaxy 2, I could see. Because New Super Mario Bros. For Wii came out
Maybe they'll make Mario Galaxy a summer release.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They'll probably
winter?
No. I don't think so.
And I'm pretty sure that game's done.
What, Galaxy 2?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I mean, they haven't announced any set dates yet, and I would imagine the only time that they're going to say a date is at E3. So that's in the summer.
Oh, jeez.
So that would mean that they have like 2 quarters left to release their 3 big games, which just doesn't seem, right.
I mean, they might be delaying. Metroid isn't as big a name as, say, Mario or Zelda, definitely. So
yeah, and it looks stupid. So
you look stupid.
It's being developed by Team Ninja, the worst game development team ever.
Oh.
Oh, maybe you can jiggle Samus's boobs.
Nice.
You know you're going to be able to.
I know that I don't really have any desire to play that game.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't really like Team Ninja. I've never liked any of the Ninja Gaiden games. They're just annoyingly difficult.
And you don't want to play it... I mean...
As a Metroid fan?
Are you not interested? Yeah.
As a Metroid fan, I would like to try it out, but I have no hopes.
Okay.
I mean... I don't know. It's cool that they're making it very story-based, and there's, people talking, but it looks like they're making it way too Space Marines,
Yeah. Oorah! Space Oorah!
Space Oorah! Drop and give me 18 Galactics!
Galactic Squats!
Galactic Squats.
Whatever the hell those are.
I love the Prime series, but I have really no interest in
Series is interesting. I mean, because they made it a first person action adventure game, and mission accomplished there. But I don't know if a beat 'em up is what I want with Metroid.
Nope, I'd be fine with like maybe remakes of the older ones, but in 3D or more Prime stories.
Other M,
I don't mind it.
Supposed to be a side scroller.
That's not what they've said. They didn't.
Why? They said it's a mix of
It's a mix of third and
second person.
I don't know. It's
second
just
person?
Or side scroller. I mean,
when I watched
second. watching somebody else play the game.
Pile driving villains. I don't think that's Samus. She's I thought the point of her using a gun is the fact that she's a woman, and sure she's strong, but I mean, I don't think that she can pile drive space pirates.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe the suit does it. I don't know.
I mean, no. I guess I can kind of see your point because I mean she hasn't done any fighting. She uses weapons.
She is Boba Fett for video games. But
I got in an argument once with a guy, a random guy on Facebook. I had posted that I thought Samus would beat Boba Fett, and he was like, "I beg to differ."
Samus would totally beat Boba Fett because
you could just hit him in the back and he'll die.
Yeah, let's fall into the nearest pit.
Ice missile. And then regular she missile. Has,
plasma.
She has the armory, or the, just
she
the,
has
the weapons at hand.
Advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Boba Fett will be like, I'll try to tie her up, but wait, she can turn into a ball.
Right.
I mean, Boba Fett's got a laser, but Samus has got, you know,
a laser.
Plasma and fire.
Yeah, every laser. Pretty much. Yeah.
She has basically an entire armory.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that begs the question, would Samus beat Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
Yeah, Samus would pretty much beat anyone.
I don't know, maybe a Jedi could take her.
Well,
because, I mean, they do have lightsabers.
There's no telling if...
Yeah, according to George Lucas, they do have laser swords. Did you know that Sir Alec Guinness, rest in peace, never forget, was the one who came up with the term lightsaber?
Really? I thought he hated...
No, in the script, George Lucas wrote it as laser sword. That's why he still calls them laser swords when he talks about them. But Alec Guinness said that sounded cheesy and too sci-fi and not elegant enough. And so Alec Guinness...
Right. Thank God for him.
I know. Could you imagine if they were called laser swords?
Good man.
I'd be okay with
that,
I guess.
Laser sword is an elegant weapon.
Yeah.
The laser sword, the weapon of a Jedi.
I forgot that. Samus can't swim. Maybe Boba Fett has that on her.
No, it's...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's toxic.
She can
gravity
when she has
suit.
The, I think the Once gravity suit.
She doesn't swim. She just jumps.
Well, she just
she can survive underwater.
Needs more weight.
Yeah.
Are you saying that she's fat?
No, she's not fat enough.
That's my wife you're talking about.
Oh, so you married a video game character like that one guy in Japan?
Yeah, but that was a piece of performance art. That guy no, I'm not kidding. That guy was an artist. And that was like,
really?
Yeah, it was a piece of performance art. But people keep playing it off as, "Oh man, that guy's such a freak."
No, well, they're happily married.
That guy's not a freak. That guy is, you know, clever. He's figured it out.
He's a fucking genius.
In bed.
Right.
Video game bed.
Oh, nutsack.
Mm-hmm.
What every man wants.
Exactly. A video game bed? Oh, no.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I'm afraid for Samus's life. I mean, a Japanese character, and there's lots of tentacles around. Things are not looking good for her.
Oh, can we go to fan art now? Or fan mail? Sorry, not fan art. I wish fan art.
Yeah, I think we've worn this topic down. So, I guess just before we move on, any final comments?
Video games.
How about our final decision? Are games art? Yes or no?
They're on their way.
They're on their way.
No, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Alex? They're on their way.
Yes or
they're
no?
on their way. That's my answer.
That's not an answer.
It's an eventual yes.
It's an eventual yes.
Yes.
Right now is a no, count. But eventually yes.
Okay. So there you go. All right. So we got one piece of fan mail.
No, hold on. I'm gonna go from worst to best.
While Matt is looking at them.
Can I read them and then you
So the Banjo-Tooie one first.
I want to say that Metroid Prime series has a great you've just discovered something sound like Zelda.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That sound is so awesome.
This game is awesome. This is so arty.
Oh, this is a little too arty for me. Everything in this world wants to kill Samus.
A hostile alien environment.
Yeah. Ooh, save pot. The pot.
Matt Dargan writes in, "Hey, I posted a Yahoo Answers about this, and someone told me to email your podcast about it. I figured I should go..."
Don't know further.
I figured I should go ahead... and do that, since no one is going to answer something like this on Yahoo Answers unless it's someone breaking up with their boyfriend or some media thing.
What?
Anyway,
this has got to be Laura must recommended it, or...
I was wondering if you could direct me to a site or forum where they talk about the art style / set pieces / design of Banjo-Kazooie / Banjo-Tooie. You know, those crazy N64 games. The art direction in those games is amazing, at least to me. I've been wanting to research it further for quite some time. I just can't seem to navigate my way to a place where I would find answers. Maybe you could help me. Gracias, Matt."
Okay, Matt. Thanks for writing in. I'm glad that we could be a little bit more helpful than Yahoo Answers. First of all, I'll start with the end. Start the wrong part. Gracias. Go back to Mexico. How did you get across?
This was actually who wrote in, right, Matt?
How'd you get across the border to use our internet? That's what I want to know.
He's leeching Wi-Fi.
Also, could you bring me some guacamole? It's my favorite.
I especially like the way you pronounce it.
Yeah,
it's very
it traditional Latino way.
Guacamole.
Okay, so Banjo-Kazooie, thanks that you don't know how to use Google. You really couldn't find a Banjo-Kazooie website anywhere? And they're not in... Oh, God. This whole thing is just terrible. You know, you can go to our forum and start a topic about those crazy N64 games Banjo-Kazooie. I'll post a personal reply to you about my favorite aspects of those games. I might even draw a picture for you. So why don't you just go to our forum, which is a website address. Can you tell them which one it is?
Just Google it's Zelda TP Social Board.
Zelda TP.
It's ztpsocialboard.proboards.com or tinyurl. I don't know. We'll read it later.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, that's where you have to go. And thanks. We look forward to having our first Latino.
Oh, that music is so cool.
Okay.
Answering your question, though, we don't know, anything.
That's a very vague question. Can you tell
me? He wants to know a place to find cool information about Banjo-Kazooie art. I don't know.
Right, so I'm Googling.
Wait. I know a perfect place.
And Rare answers all our questions.
Rule34-images.fail.net.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. No, but I'm Googling Banjo-Kazooie art, and, you know, I'm finding some stuff.
No, don't give him any answers. He doesn't deserve answers unless he comes to our board.
All right, you'll get the answers if you come to our board, blackmailing.
Okay.
There's a lot of new members, which one next? Right in.
Jared's question.
Yeah, there you go. Jared's question. All right, Matt, this is for you. Jared.
How come I don't get email? How come I'm not allowed to answer these emails?
Matt's a stupid faggot.
Because I get all the emails. People want to know
will there be a playoff mode? Okay, will there be a playoff mode with the correct teams and seeding in the next Madden 10 update? Matt.
Well, as a fellow one football guy to the next, one of my favorite aspects of football is seeding. Just when you sow your seeds, the seeds of betrayal were planted today when EA said no more Madden games ever. So, but the seeds of friendship were also planted when NFL Blitz coming back 2010.
NFL is licensing Blitz again?
NFL, Madden NFL Blitz. It's a crossover. So you get to play as Emmett Rice and also Emmett Rhodes.
Do you get to play as Raiden?
You get to play as Raiden from Metal Gear Solid, Raiden from Mortal Kombat.
Sweet. You get to play as Ryu from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So, will there be a playoff mode with the correct teams? No, they're all going to be the incorrect teams. So you're going to be like, what, the Denver 49ers? That's not a team. How do I do this one? And, yeah, it's going to be just a mess. But it's going to be a Wii exclusive.
Oh, this tentacles.
So you know they're going to have some cool motion controls. You have to throw your Wii...
Oh, get away from those tentacles.
You have to throw your Wiimote to throw the football. It's revolutionary new controls. you have to have... If a friend doesn't catch it, then it doesn't count.
And there's actually a new football accessory for the Wiimote.
Yeah. And
see, what you do is you place the Wiimote in
No. You tape it.
You throw the Wiimote.
Tape it to a real football. You go out and you have to have a full team...
That's the premiere version.
Is Nintendo releasing an official tape?
Yeah,
an official
the Wii
what?
Tape to tape
oh, yeah,
things.
The Nintendo tape.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is a. I don't you get use the Madcaps Madcats game tape. It's
don't get it. It's clunky. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Just look forward to that. So I'm glad you asked us. Thanks a lot, Jared.
There you go.
All
right. This is from Kenzia at gmail.com. Hey!
Oh, way to give out their contact information.
Yeah, well. Hey, I would want to live in the game world of Lunar Silver Star Story Complete because I already beat the game and the music is cool. Thanks, bye.
Okay.
But you can't really listen to the music while you're living in the world.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to field this
one.
You
can have headphones on now.
I think
this is a month.
I'm
going to
field this one. What was the person's name?
Kenzia.
Kenzia.
Yeah.
Hey, Kenzia, this is Nick. You know, it's great. That's a great answer. It's a great try. It's wrong, but that's okay. You sound like a sexy lady, and I guarantee that two or more of us here at the podcast would like to, however many team you, we can add up. So join the boards. We'll send you some pics of our parts, and you pick and choose.
Yeah. Addressing your question, thanks for writing in about this topic. You're the only person to write in what game world, so I really do appreciate that. However, you picked, I don't even know what Lunar Silver Star Story is. Too many S's in that title.
Complete. Lunar Silver Star Story Complete.
Oh, so they released half a game first, and they're
the complete saga is finally out.
And, okay, so you want to live in it because the music's cool. Alex, you're right. There, how would you even hear the music when you're in it?
Headphones.
And you want to live in it because you already beat the game? So, like, it...
That way she can have all the stuff she acquired.
That's the only reason. That's the only game you've ever beaten. So, oh well, I beat the game, so I might as well live in that world. I'm glad you didn't beat like Postal 2, because then you would be stuck somewhere terrible. Anyway, that was a god awful email. Don't write it again. But join our forums so we can make fun of you
and send you some pics of our dicks,
dick pics, celebrity tip slips.
Oh yeah, go to our Matt and I's blog.
Oh, and also, oh sorry.
CelebrityTipSlips.gov. Are you sick of seeing all those hints of nipple? Head on over to Celebrity Tip Slip. I'll read an article from April 13th. Harrison Ford's leaving a hot Hollywood club. What's that above his waistband? Something's peeking out. Celebrity Tip Slips.
Okay, and here's another one. Bill Gates might not be the head of Microsoft anymore, but you can see the real head of Microsoft here at work. That'd be the head of his penis. That's just a theoretical one.
I get
if we ever
it.
See Bill Gates, the tip of his penis. But
yeah,
that one's worse. We already have that one in the can, just in case. I can't find this last symbol.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. But for reals, I'm starting another new website. I like to make a lot of websites. It's the opposite of Mr. Skin. It's Mr. Blue Balls. It's a list of actresses who never appeared nude in movies.
And all the scenes where they got really close.
Yeah, all the scenes where they almost, like, they're in a bikini or something, or they were naked with their back to the camera.
Yeah, and they were, like, behind one of those, like, changing things.
Yeah, so you'd have a lot of actresses
in
there.
Oh, it's burning.
And it's just a comprehensive database.
Oh, there it is.
Is it on the floor?
No, it was on the wall next to the door when I came in.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
yeah, there's another one I gotta find.
So that's all the fan mail we have.
Yeah.
Matt, why don't you do a call for fan art?
Okay, anybody fan art? Aaron Insurance.
Send us some.
Aaron Insurance Flow. Did you put that fan art thing in the beginning of last podcast too? Where you yell at people?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, so there we go. Keep sending us in fan mail, fan art. I'm glad you're downloading. If you stumbled...
Send us in your New Year's resolutions as well.
Oh, that's right.
Because we haven't gotten
any of
those.
Oh, yeah, New Year's resolutions.
Are we going to talk about our New Year's resolutions or save that for the next podcast?
Save it for the next podcast.
Okay.
If so,
for ours?
Yeah.
I thought we already had... We already have...
Yeah, you guys already did yours.
Oh, wow. I'm...
Nick, you completed yours and Matt failed miserably.
What was mine?
I don't remember. We made it up on the spot, and so I don't really...
Oh!
Matt, yours was to not... believe in New Year's resolutions, and Nick's was to make Matt believe in New Year's resolutions.
And then you did it.
Yeah.
That's right, I forget.
Yeah, Chase, did you have one?
Sort of. I'm taking a picture of everything I eat.
Okay.
Hey, that's kind of...
And posting it to
Facebook.
Oh, you
eating that pussy, huh? Oh, yeah.
Ow!
Are there going to be some not-safe-for-work images? What happens if I work at, like, a porno magazine?
Then that would be your work.
Would you be eating the magazines?
What I'm saying is, what would be not safe for work if I worked at a porn publication? Would it be like pictures of people clothed?
Oh, I getcha.
Like, yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Send in your emails. Answer my question. What's not safe for work if you work at a porn publication? If you work at Mr. Blue Balls, what can you not look at on the computer?
You know what's not safe for any workplace is drunk driving. So don't drunk drive, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, Matt just started mad. It's Matt's against drunk driving, and apparently we're getting—he's getting sued.
Well, it's just—I'm getting sued because I didn't invite Matt LeBlanc because I don't like that guy.
How can you not invite Joey?
Well, just because we had a falling out. I don't want to talk about it.
Falling out, New Vegas coming out this year.
Okay, I think we're done.
Okay.
So, contact info is wtpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at ZeldaWTPodcast. Our Facebook page is Zelda Working Title Podcast. And our board is tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. Oh, and if you listen to us, get us from iTunes, please take a few minutes to rate us, write a review.
Anywhere.
Let us know how we're doing.
Anywhere
yell
you
at
get,
us.
You see us and you can write a review, just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, just, you know, say, this is the best podcast ever, I listen
Share
to it all the time,
friends.
The hosts are great.
If your friends bring their iPod over to your house,
be like,
when
hey,
not looking,
I found this awesome podcast
and I think you
should listen to it.
When
you're
not
no,
looking,
no?
What you do is you take their iPod, delete everything off of it.
But put the podcast on there and replace it with,
as music.
Yeah, as music, and change all the tags to what used to be there.
Yeah, so they're like, I want to listen to the White Stripes. Oh, nope, you listen to the podcast.
Oh, well, maybe I'll just tune into some Lady Gaga. Oh, no, it's podcast.
And then they'll be like, oh, Katy Perry's so innovative. It sounds like music, or it's supposed to be music, but it's just a podcast about video games. That's weird, but it's cool. I'll listen to it. So do that.
Right, so just slip them the drug and they'll get hooked.
Yeah.
They're on every channel.
Okay.
Yeah. So, good job, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Chase.
You're welcome, Adam.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's all
later.
We will see you guys later.
Hey, guys. I love you. Bye.
Good night.
Is Alex drunk yet?